We continue on here with this series on the I Am statements of Jesus. We're going to be in John chapter 10 today. I invite you to open your Bibles there. We're going to be reading from page 1666, if you'd like to use your pew Bible. Jesus is speaking, as he has been for the last several chapters, to not only the religious leaders of the day, but all those who would gather to hear. And he says, "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, verse 7 says, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have ever come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." On the gate, or as some versions would say, the door. For reasons that I think will become obvious, I was tempted at least to present the next claim of Jesus in John 10 before this one, but decided to stick with chronology. Jesus claims here to be the gate for the sheep. I want you to think on that for a moment. Gate or door. The metaphor is rich with meaning, but what is a gate or a door used for, if not access? You pass through it to enter into something, or you pass through it to exit out of something, moving from one realm to another. And Jesus speaks of both entering and exiting in this text through him. And both, interesting enough, are positive moves. And we'll see that. Jesus speaks of this familiar and tender relationship between a sheep and a shepherd. Now, again, that would have been familiar to them. If I were to talk to you about policemen or firemen, we would maybe have a more of an understanding of that in our culture. But for them, shepherds were all around. This was very, very familiar for them. Shepherds used sheep pens to bed down their flocks, particularly through the night. Now, when possible, they would use man-made structures, especially if it was near their home or their village. But sometimes, even those would be community corrals, I'll call them, shared by neighboring shepherds. There'd be more than one shepherd, more than one flock in that pen. When out in the fields, however, a shepherd would need to build a temporary but still secure structure. They'd utilize the natural outcroppings for backdrops whenever they could, forming remaining walls with either limbs or branches or brush or boulders if they could find them, if they were movable. But in either case, with the pen, once it was constructed or available to them, the shepherd would call a sheep. They call them into his fold. As he positioned himself as the gate or the door of the entryway, he carefully and lovingly examined each sheep. And it's been portrayed, and I've shared this before, where he might actually spread his legs and have each little lamb pass through his legs. And he would examine the lamb, calling it by name, perhaps scratching behind its ear, comforting, but also checking for injuries, for pests like lice or maybe some other vermin that may have gotten on them that they'd want to remove. But as he was inspecting, he was also comforting and assuring them that they'd come to a safe place. They'd let them pass into the pen. And once he was sure they were all in the pen, secure, inside, he'd lie down across the opening. That's where he would spend the night, serving as the closed door, as the closed gate, to keep them safe inside against predators or thieves. Which brings us to the very first part of Jesus' claim. He says that his sheep, his followers, they enter into safety and security when they come through him. That's what he's promising, isn't it? As he calls them by name and cares for their need, in this fold they find acceptance, they find comfort, they find healing, they find peace, they find refuge, they find rest. You may recall that in Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are labor, and I will give you what? Rest. Rest for your souls." That's no empty or idle promise that he's making. He said, "Come to me. Come to me, and you'll find rest." Psalm 23, David speaks of the Lord leading beside still waters. That is a very peaceful and serene scene. Isn't it? Still water. Not rushing waters, not rapids, not dangerous torrential streams. Still waters. But think about it. All that he's offering for those who would enter into him, why would anyone not come when he calls? Why would anyone ignore his voice? Why would anyone refuse to follow him? Well, according to Jesus, one reason at least is they might not recognize his voice. They might not recognize his voice. Maybe they've never heard it before, or they've not heard it clearly enough to recognize it, consistently enough. For others, they might recognize it, but they don't recognize him. They don't understand who he is. Or maybe they do. And they'd rather do their own thing. Rather go their own way. Rather call their own shots. Maybe. But I want you to listen carefully. Jesus is the narrow door here. The things that he promises are only available to those who will enter in through him. Only to his sheep, only to his flock. All those wonderful promises of security and safety and peace and comfort and rest. For everybody? No, for those who will enter in through him. Isn't that what he says? Those who enter in, who come through, they will find these things. So is he exclusive? His call is wide. And he calls to all, but only those who enter in receive the blessing of the security and the safety. In fact, he says those who enter through him will be saved. That's what he said in the text. They'll be saved. What about those who don't? It's only those who enter in. What will they be saved from? From lions and wolves and bears? Oh my, yes. Yes. For those predators would devour them if they had the opportunity. Is that all that he's saying? That you'll be saved from them? How about their own poor choices? For many a lamb would wander and get into trouble. They'd wander into danger. They'd fall into pits. They'd get tangled in thickets. Sometimes they just wander and get lost and couldn't find their way back. Being very susceptible again to the elements. But he also mentions thieves, doesn't he? Those who would steal them. Those who would slaughter them for selfish gain. Now, most scholars would say, well, he's hinting at the devil here, and I certainly believe that is true. That evil destroyer who cares nothing for us but would torture us, would kill us, he could, for his own pleasure. Yet he's also warning not just of the devil, but he's warning of the scribes and Pharisees here, and we need not miss them. Of those religious leaders who would fleece them at every opportunity, robbing them of their dignity as well as their goods. But yet they as well didn't care anything for the sheep. They were only a means to an end. And the end was their own profit, their own popularity. I thank God that there are no such religious leaders in the world today. They exist today. As they did then. Jesus warning the people about those kind of leaders. Yes, about Satan. But he's offering them something different, something better. Jesus is not like those who've come before him. He says, all that came before him, claiming to be him, claiming to be the good shepherd that we'll talk about next week, claiming to be the one that God had promised, claiming to be the deliverer, claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be their salvation, were liars, he says, and they were thieves, and they were robbers. They were only after something for self, and never really caring for the sheep. Jesus, however, he came to rescue, didn't he? He came to save. He came to bring hope and healing. He came that we might have life. I'm hesitant to ask, but I will. Can anybody remember what I said that every one of the I Am claims of Jesus would be tied to? Life! Life. Every time you read in context, you'll find he's promising life. Whenever he says, I am, you're going to find he's promising life. And that segues right into the next part of his claim. He says something here that so often is missed. His sheep may exit. See, enter in for what? Safety, security. Exit into abundance. John 10:10. I come that you might have life in some nominal, minimal, disappointing, unfulfilling, unsatisfying existence. Is that what he says? No, I came that you might have life and life in abundance, an abundant life, a full life. Right? I am the gate, I am the door, and if you enter through me, what we have? Life! Abundant life. For he says that not only will you come in, but the sheep can also go out and find what? Pasture. You might come in for what? Security, and go out and find pasture. The promise of life and fulfillment. Abundance is there. He wants us to live a full life. To be well fed, to be kept warm and safe, to be healthy, and yes, dare I say it, prosperous. He does want that. But to find pasture, we have to follow him where he leads us. Psalm 23 says that the Lord leads us to lie down in what? Barren, arid, dry, lifeless deserts. No! Green pastures. In context, though, Psalm 23, the pathway there may meander through some dark valleys. And we so often rush immediately and say, oh yeah, the green pastures, that's heaven. And yes, ultimately, yes. What an abundance that'll be, amen? We've got a place of glory and peace and wonder and joy and everything that's glorious and good beyond our imagination there for us. But I gather from Jesus' statements here and other things taught in the Scripture that he's not saying, you know what, live in misery now, and one day it'll be good. He wants us to experience some abundance now, folks. Some fullness now. Some fulfillment now. And I wonder how many of Jesus' sheep miss out on their green pastures because they won't leave the security of the sheep pen. Because he says you will exit out. You enter in, right, and exit out through him. I wonder how many others may live in scarcity just because they don't approach their Heavenly Father through Jesus in prayer. Because he does talk a lot about that, you know, about approaching the Father through him. After all, Jesus is our only access to the Father. What the Apostle Paul says, he says, there's one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So our avenue of communication, our access to the Father is through Jesus. He's the go-between. He's the door. He's the gate. What do you think about that? Jesus tells us in John 14, and we'll be there in a couple of weeks, to ask for anything in his name, in effect, going through him in his name. And we can expect an answer. And not just any old answer, but a positive one. John explains in 1 John 5:14 and 15 that if our motives are unselfish, that if our motives are truly for the kingdom, for God and others, that whatever we ask for through Jesus, we'll receive. 3 John. There's only one chapter, but chapter 1. Verse 2, John says, "Dear friends, I pray that in every way you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul is also prospering." Now, I'm not real big. Most of you who know me know that. I'm just preaching the prosperity gospel, you know, health and wealth, and that's where your focus should be. But who can deny that when he says you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul is also prospering? He's talking about spiritual prosperity, but that's not all. He's talking about God's desire, again, that we would grow spiritually, we would prosper, that we would have abundance in our spiritual relationship with God. But that's not all that he wants for us. He wants to bless us. Bottom line is that if Jesus' sheep will follow his lead, in the process, they'll find an abundance of not only peace and joy, but all they need to live a healthy and happy, fulfilling life. So why aren't we? Why are so many of those who claim to follow Jesus so anxious about today and tomorrow? Remember the Psalm 23 again? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't want to ever add to the word God, but I thought, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not whine. And always be complaining about what I don't have, because I have Jesus, I have access to the Father, I have my soul taken care of, I am secure, I am safe in him, and he will provide for me, if I am one of his sheep. But then what's the problem? What's the issue? Because we're listening to every voice but his, and we're following and chasing after everything but him. What does he say? My sheep know me. They know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I've come that they might have life and to the full. I'm only repeating what he says. So his sheep follow his lead. Without raising your hands, search your heart. Are you one of his flock? Are you one of his flock? Do you know Jesus? Does he know you? Has he called you by name? Have you come? Have you entered in through him? Are you experiencing that safety and security that he gives? That peace, that rest, that joy? But are you following as well when he says, hey, come with me? Wait a minute, I came to church, Jesus. Isn't that enough? I came into the flock here. I'm in the sheep pen. Isn't that enough? Good, safe place to be, right? In this country. You know, right, putting your life on the line to assemble with believers in another country. It's so safe and warm and secure here, right? But he wants to lead us out. We've got to follow. We've got to follow. But Jesus, you know, that's a little scary. That's risky. That's, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's up ahead there. I don't know where you're going. It sounds like John 14 again, and what they would say later. I don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? We'll get to that. Just follow him. Just follow him. Will the shepherd lead you somewhere where you'll be destroyed by the devil? No! Will he lead you someplace where the thieves can just get you and rob you of everything? No! Where's he going to lead you? In the pasture. Amen? In the pasture. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us trust you. Not just in the coming to you in the first place and entering into the safety and secure fold, but to trust you to even be let out. Wherever that might take us, knowing that if you're in the lead, it's going to take us where you want us to be. And though that the road ahead may be narrow and sometimes difficult, as long as you're the one leading, we can know where it's going to end up. We can know that you're going to lead us where you want us to be. And a place that's going to be a place of abundance. A place where our needs are met. A place where you feed us by your own hand. A place where you comfort and care for us and nurture us. And ultimately, yes, we're looking for heaven, God. And we believe in that promise and we're expecting that and we claim it in Jesus' name. But Lord, help us to be faithful now too. Now, whether you lead us to the mission field or you just lead us next door to talk to a neighbor or whether you lead us into a new area that is just frightening for us, God, let us follow, knowing that you will bless us. Father, if there are those here again today who have not yet heard the voice or they've heard it and they've not recognized it, God, that their ears might be open today, they might hear the loving call shepherd and come into the fold. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Jesus Take All of Me. And that's important. We realize that, you know what, it's not a matter of going to do the hokey pokey. I'm going to put one foot in. I'm going to take it back out. No, he wants all of us. And we enter in as one of his sheep, one of his lambs, and we find shepherding that's good. We can assist you in a relationship with Christ. Let us know that while we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed Just as I am.